Dear Homecoming. Honey, I'm home. I think this episode marks a turning point for the Vampire Diaries. Sincerely, Bridget.
Dear Homecoming. Let's trade brother issues for daddy issues for a bit. Sincerely, Brian.
Welcome to Dear Vampire Diaries, where today we have the distinct pleasure of escorting you through this episode of The Vampire Diaries, Season 3, Episode 9, Homecoming. I'm your host, Bridget, and today we have a guest with us. Hi, Brian.
Hello.
We won't be delving into future episodes today, but we will be discussing this episode, Homecoming, in detail. You've been warned. Speaking of warnings, we have a content note. The Vampire Diaries contains heavy themes. Please check the episode description for trigger warnings and resources. You can support the podcast by going to the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes, following the show on social media, which is also in the show notes, or by leaving us a great review. You can also write into us at dearvampdiaries@gmail.com. Okay, Brian, this is the episode where, according to HBO, on the night of the homecoming dance, Rebecca tells Elena why the evening is so important to her, leaving Elena with conflicting emotions. Determined to outsmart Klaus, Damon enters into a dangerous partnership. I feel like Michael is very toothless.
Yeah, I mean, this whole episode had a very, like, Ocean's 11 feel to it a little bit of, like,
oh, yeah.
Of, like, the whole, like, let's plan this heist and, like, going back and forth in the timeline and, like,
yes.
Like, previously, you know, we did this and, like, this thing happened that you didn't see before.
Mm-hmm.
And, people, like, you know, they mentioned multiple times, like, this person's one step ahead of the other person. This person's two steps ahead.
And I was
like, well, at that point, they're all just kind of dancing around each other at this point. And,
right. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like Michael is a big letdown in this episode. Mm. So dangerous partnership doesn't really cover it. Sorry, HBO.
What makes him a letdown to you?
The fact that they gave him the Catherine treatment. They gave him the Klaus treatment where they're like, oh my God, Michael is this big, bad vampire hunter. And then like what he like snacks on Stefan a little bit and he shows up and is like, boy to Klaus and just like cuts him down. Yeah. And that's pretty much it.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I just feel like Michael isn't nearly the big bad we needed him to be, and then by the end of this episode, he's dead.
Yeah, especially, you know, watching the previous episode of, like, the backstory of their whole family.
Right! They just introduced him.
Yeah, and he was supposed to be, like, this like, patriarchal character,
yes.
And, like,
yes.
Then he disappears, now he's hunting them for a thousand years, and this whole lead-up to everything, and then
yes.
It's like, yeah, nope, he's just
yep.
Gonna talk on the porch, make his son cry, and then get stabbed.
Exactly!
Okay, exactly.
Bye. I'm home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. Well, that's a letdown. Let's get into the story breakdown.
Let's do it.
All right. So we start off with this phone call of Stefan being like, your daddy is dead. And Klaus being like, what? And Stefan being like, well, actually daggered. We daggered him.
Yeah.
And Klaus is like, I need you to explain to me what happened. And as you said, they just cut back an hour and they're like, all right, what are we going to tell Klaus? How are we going to figure this out to make it so that he doesn't break, so that Stefan doesn't break the illusion of this?
I also want to point out that I love that a lot of episodes in not only Vampire Diaries, but a lot of CW shows, they start episodes with phone calls in the woods. Of
Whoa.
Like a way to like start things.
That's
like
so
it's
real.
Happened a couple times in this series where it's like they are like outside a camper in the woods taking a phone call, telling them where they are and then who's dead.
And I want to know what cell phone service you have
yeah.
because how do you have reception out there?
Yeah. Yeah, so a lot of phone calls happen in the woods to start episode. It happens in Supernatural, it happens in other shows too. I don't know why CW has a thing about, let's start a show with a phone call in the woods.
But yeah, so during this, like, 1 hour earlier planning for that very phone call, Michael is like, well, then I shall be dead. And the plan is for Elena to dagger him in front of Stefan so that Stefan is like, I saw it with my own eyes, because compulsion is very literal, apparently.
Yeah.
And Michael has this weapon that he's talked about, which is a stake from the White Oak, which is how they were created and vampires and stuff. And he says, knowing its location is my insurance policy against you leaving this dagger in my heart. Very solid. During that little phone call production, Klaus is like, well, I want to talk to Rebecca. And we're all like, oh, shit. But then Stefan's like, oh, that's not a problem. She's right here. And Rebecca's there and full on lies to Klaus.
Everyone's just kind of like off screen waiting for their time to talk.
Yeah. And Klaus, it works though. Klaus agrees to come. They pull off their little production, and Elena undaggers Michael so that when he wakes up, who's there painting her toenails waiting to chat with him and stand up to the patriarchy? But Rebecca.
Yep.
And it's interesting, we get a little bit more of her POV on Klaus killing their mom. Like, she's like, no, I know what he did, but you're still the problem. Like, you're still the one that turned us into vampires. Yeah. He wasn't born a killer. None of us were.
Yeah.
You're the real, and to her credit, like, that's entirely true.
Yeah.
Michael is such a dick. He created vampires, yeah, was told that there would be consequences, and now is like, now I'm gonna hunt them because, yeah, I created this plague. Well, why don't you start with killing yourself, sir?
Yeah.
God.
Like, he literally stabs them in the heart, like, in the previous episode.
Yeah.
They go back, and he creates them by stabbing them in the heart.
Yeah.
Like, killing his children.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fucking Michael.
Yeah.
So, anyway, she gives him shit for destroying their family, which is fair.
Hmm.
So we go to Elena's room, speaking of destroyed families.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Elena, too soon. and Bonnie is there, and there's an interesting, I don't know, they kind of touch peripherally. Oh yeah, Jeremy isn't in this episode.
No,
but they sort of mention,
yeah,
that, you know, he sort of cheated on Bonnie. And
also a lot of Bonnie's reaction when Elena's trying to get her to talk about the whole thing with the ghost girlfriend and everything.
Yeah.
Bonnie's kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
It happened.
Same shit, different.
Eh, can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Just a ghost. Eh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting because, like, we always talk on this pod about how Elena is kind of a shitty friend to Bonnie.
Yeah.
And this, I feel like, is the writers trying to be like, no, but Bonnie is saying she doesn't need support and,
yeah,
can't be supported by Elena about it. And it is a little bit fair, the point of, like, no, you're mad. You can't be mad. How,
yeah,
I'm mad? You're mad at your little brother. He'll teach him a life lesson.
Yeah.
But, like, Bonnie is good with her boundaries. She knows this is something to go to Caroline about,
yeah,
and not Elena.
She definitely put up a wall.
Yeah.
Like, when she's sitting on the bed there, it was just her facial expression was very obviously, like, I'm not going to tell you anything.
Yeah.
Like, just her, like, little, like, kind of half smirk was like, you can keep asking if you want. Not,
yeah,
going to say anything.
Yeah. That's, yeah, fair. That's fair. Yeah. So we go to Damon's room, where this is like a staging area for them to create weapons, which,
yeah,
is awesome. And, yeah, I love it. And I love the moment when she's trying to fill up a grenade, and Damon's like, oh, I'll do it. And,
yeah,
Elena's like, no, I've got it. And Damon goes, Elena, this blows up in our face. Let me remind you, only one of us here,
yeah,
heals quickly, which is a great, that's one of my favorite lines.
Russell, I couldn't help but, like laugh at the fact that their grenades are like water bottles with grenade tops, like plastic water bottles, like literally, like,
so DIY,
just with grenade tops on them.
They don't want the government to know what they're doing, Brian.
Well, just imagine, like, the prop masters, like, they're given the task of, like, I mean, you need to make a grenade. Okay, that's easy, but it has to be a clear grenade.
Okay,
that's fine. And it can't be grenade shaped. Okay, what's it have in it? Brown liquid. I don't want to work here anymore. But they literally had like the squirt bottle, like, tubes in,
yeah,
them. Like, they're just like they went to Walmart and got a bunch of, like, cheap wax squirt bottles, and,
yeah,
they're just like, oh, put some grenade tops on these. That's fine. It works the same way.
I like to think of it as they went, okay, imagine you're a Larrick and you're going shopping at the DIY store.
Yeah.
You're gonna make a grenade.
Yeah.
This is,
it's like,
yeah,
no one took the time to be like, how does a grenade work?
Yeah.
Like, the whole point of a grenade is the part in the center with the explosives and,
yeah, the kaboom part.
Yeah, kaboom. Anyways, we'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Okay. So in this scene, Elena is like, I don't think we can trust Rebecca. Like, I want to, but I don't think we can. Damon mentions a secret contingency plan, and Stefan pops in to say that he needs a better tie.
Yes.
And also, P.S. You two are gonna fuck this shit up.
Mm-hmm.
Which will, that's some foreshadowing for later.
Mm-hmm. Also, I love, like, Damon's way of whenever he has a secret plan,
yeah,
he's not ever secretive about it. He loudly says, like, I got a plan, we're not doing that.
Yeah,
like,
we're not gonna be doing,
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Like, he's really bad at the whole, like, he keeps this plan a secret.
Yeah,
but he makes you know that there's a secret plan.
Well, he is the plan man. Like,
yeah,
everyone knows. Even Klaus later is like, so whatever Damon specifically,
yeah,
is planning,
yeah,
tell him it's not gonna work.
Yeah.
In the same way that Damon is known for his plans, I feel Caroline is known for her leadership in event planning. different kind of plan, mm-hmm. very glittery plans involving glitter guns. So we go to the outside of Mystic Falls High, where Tyler and Caroline are decorating and preparing for homecoming.
Are they? Are they decorating?
Yes, they are. What
I want to know what task he was given to paint that van, because everything he does in this scene makes no sense whatsoever. Like, it starts
adding glitter.
He's adding glitter with a glitter gun, and then she takes it away from him. And then he continues to do things that make no sense.
Yeah, he's just spraying something that's already been painted. So anyway, back to things that matter, Brian. Tyler's hungry, and Caroline is mom, mm-hmm. and has brought a thermos. Mm-hmm. But he's like, no, I want some Peoples.
Wants
I'm
a
hungry.
Real bite.
I want a real bite. I can has real bites. I can has consenting teenagers.
Well, if he can't be trusted with a glitter gun, how can you trust him with the real teenagers?
Exactly. And Caroline's upset with him because he got this idea from Rebecca. Mm-hmm. And speaking of Rebecca, she's about to get even more pissed because she finds out that Tyler set Matt up on a date mm-hmm. with Rebecca. And she's like, why? And he's like, oh, she's hot. Like, don't overthink this. Which does not seem sire bondy to me. That seems genuine, Tyler. But she's like, I think this is the sire bond. Like, please tell me this is just an extension of that. And he says, quote, I'm here hanging streamers and I have glitter all over my hands. If I'm sired to anyone, it's you.
Objection.
Yes. The court recognizes.
There are no streamers in this scene.
He means
whatsoever.
Inside the gym, I'm
but,
sure.
But he gestures to the work he's doing currently. He literally, he like, listeners can't see me, but he gestures to the van. That I'm dealing with streamers and I have glitter. There's no streamers on the van. There's none in the scene whatsoever. The glitter, yes, I accept the glitter. I don't accept the streamers, and I don't accept the task he was given with this van.
All right.
I feel like they had a like when they had the committee, like the party planning committee of who's decorating.
Yes.
And like he was standing there waiting for his assignment. They're all there, like, oh man, we gotta give him something.
Give him something. Give him tell him that there are streamers and that they're just invisible.
Yeah.
And.
Glitter the van. Paint the van. The van's already painted.
Can you handle that, sweetie?
Yeah. Here's the glitter gun. Go. Just get out of her.
Reminds me of when I used to be in set lab and I would paint things that had already been painted just to spite everyone.
Yeah.
Just standing there painting stairs.
That's what he was doing.
Yeah.
Literally. The van was already painted, already glittered, everything. And he was just doing...
He's just moving shit
don't
around.
Don't know what. Yeah.
So we go to Stefan's room where... Elena and Rebecca sort of share a moment. Also, Rebecca chose the dress that Elena picked in the last episode, which is interesting because you know those people that you ask for their opinion on things so that you can do the opposite of what they say? Like, if you give them two options, you're like, I don't respect you, so
I'm
going to
pick. They wear the green one.
They wear the green one, yeah. Rebecca respects Elena's decisions is what this says to me, which is different from Catherine, who once described Elena's style as dull as dishwater. So I kind of love that.
It did look good on her.
It did. I mean, they all would have because it's Claire Holt. But she says, I've spent my life hating and loving my brother in equal measure. I never thought I'd be the one to help drive a stake through his heart. And they won me over. I remember the first time that I watched this, how much I loved Rebecca and wanted her so much to be a part of the Scooby gang, kind of. Yeah. Like, I was like, oh, I want her to be Elena's friend. And Elena, like... gives Rebecca her mom's necklace. She's like, you should wear this. Yeah. And it's like a sweet moment.
She says, you're missing something.
Ugh! And then in a gasp-worthy moment, Elena daggers Rebecca. Mm-hmm.
In the back. Like, it's literally stabs her in the
stabs
back.
Stabs her in the back.
But I will say, it's right before, or it's right after Rebecca says that no one in her family can be trusted.
Right.
And both of us were watching it. We both said out loud, like, including you.
Including you. Yeah, like, for sure.
So, I mean, it's not like it's undeserved or anything, but it was like, you
That's
know.
That's true.
It was very much like logical TV writing. Of just
That's
like,
fair.
You say the line, you're missing something, and then stab you in the back.
Yes, but I just want to point out that I also watched this with Kathleen, who's watching for the first time. She was fully shocked by that moment. Mm. So that's the difference of watching it with somebody who's seen it before, who, like, totally knows what kind of show this is.
Yeah.
And Kathleen was like, she was like, what? And I was like, I know. That's how I felt when I first watched it.
Yeah, so it's been a while since I watched this. And, like, even this, like, again, it's the logical TV writing. It's just like, oh, she's either going to stab her in the back or steal something from her or one of the many
something
things
to
you
ruin
do.
The moment.
Yeah. I was like, hey, you've already daggered somebody in this episode. So probably, oh, there it is. There's
the
dagger.
There it is. There it is. Yeah. And Elena also has mixed feelings about this, as we've seen in the next scene, when Damon comes in and Elena is like, oh shit, I'm the weak link. I'm going to fuck up this plan. And Damon compliments her by saying, you know, I think it's very Catherine of you. And she goes, not the way to make me feel better about myself, Damon. And there's this great moment where she's like, do you trust Michael?
Nope.
He's like, nope. Do you trust Stefan?
Nope. He's not even looking at her. He's just, yeah. Nope.
And then to mirror that moment at the end of the scene, Damon asks Elena if she trusts him. And she says yes without hesitation, which is a parallel moment to season one when she went on a road trip with him in like episode 11. And he at that time says to her, do you trust me? And she goes, no.
Yeah.
So we've come a long way in two seasons. So we go to outside of Mystic Falls High where, okay, at this point when we were watching it, I paused because I was like, I have to go to the bathroom. And I said, please don't overanalyze what's on the screen while I'm gone. And then I came back. There was a silence.
So why were the barricades in this scene in the water? You put barricades along the edge of the problem. You
don't
put
them. Still moving them.
No. Those barricades. Them. There was no one touching them. They were put in a row. They
Let
were
them
done.
Do their jobs.
They were in the water, which means the people around them were also in the water. There was one guy who was just standing there, staring directly down the barrel of the camera, not even doing a job, just staring at the camera. And can we talk about the high school logo on the wall?
That the Timberwolves, our beloved Timberwolves,
but it's
100%
a werewolf. It's a werewolf with dead eyes.
Yes, yeah.
The look on the werewolf's face is like, yeah, I'm mad, I'm going to eat you, but this is how it is now. Just deadpan. I didn't overanalyze. What are we talking about?
This is what happens.
Don't pause scenes and then walk away. I'm going to look at them and figure out all of it's the ketchup thing all over again.
Oh, God. So, anyway, the fucking dance is canceled. Okay, so, and then Tyler is like, oh, I'm going to have it at my place.
Oh, darn, the dance is canceled. No. Oh, I guess we can go to my place where I have this giant thing set up. Like, production
and I also,
value.
I warned Brian as soon as this happened. I was like, do not write notes about that. It's supposed to be that way, okay?
And he still wrote notes about it.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. Okay, but before we get there, at the Salvatore house, I love this little scene where Matt arrives, you know, with a corsage for Rebecca. Mm-hmm. And I just love his reaction, but he's like, Elena. Yeah.
Hey. And yeah, definitely like the one eye twitch. Yeah. It's like, oh, God, I gotta.
My ex-girlfriend is here. And she's like, so, little problem with your date. And he's like, what's happened?
Yeah. What did you do?
And she does not answer. No. Instead, she just goes, how do you feel about a backup date? At which point, I imagine she went upstairs and was like, you go, Catherine.
See, I thought it would have been funny this moment, because later in the episode, they cut to a scene of Rebecca, like, on the ground, like, with a dagger in her back and her phone ringing.
Yes.
And it's like her just, like, dead on the ground.
Yeah.
I think it would have been funny if they had done that scene now. Like, where is she?
Where is she?
Yeah.
Matt calling. Yeah. How do you feel about a backup date?
Yeah.
That would have been good ending. But oh my God, we go to the fifth big event of season three. Folks are a headbanging to my morning jacket. They are a drinking from red Solo cups.
We need to talk about that. This isn't just like a like little rinky dinky stage like in the middle. Like this is a full on like
production.
Like they like rented gear and like built a stage and lighting, and like there's like 400 people here. Like this isn't a small thing.
Mm-mm.
So his whole like, oh, this sucks, let's go to my place. It's like, you know, this has been in plans for a while.
Absolutely. And Caroline immediately picks up on that. Like she immediately is like, what the fuck? How did Tyler plan a better party than me so fast? She's deeply offended.
Is that a band?
He doesn't even know how to use a glitter gun. Yeah. He doesn't know what.
I mean, he doesn't.
He doesn't know. But yeah, this definitely is not last moment. And we cut to Stefan saying to Tyler, hey, awesome party, man. And Tyler is like, oh, thanks, but like, I'm not actually throwing it. I'm just doing what I'm told. And he's like, what? And he's like, yeah, close. Klaus decided to throw a wake, which gives me little chills every time he's like, it's not a party. It's awake.
Yeah. And he said it very much in the way someone in a cult says,
yes.
Like, welcome to the party.
It's like, not
this
a party.
Is Klaus's idea.
Yeah. I do what I'm told.
Yeah.
And Klaus gets on stage and everyone applauds before he starts speaking, which is how I would react if I were seeing Joseph Morgan for the first time. I would just start applauding. Good job, God. But he says, it's been a long time coming.
And looks like directly at
Stefan. Looks directly at Stefan.
Who's in the back of the crowd. There's no lighting back there. There's
no, but he's a vampire. He senses.
Oh, she. Okay.
Yeah, he can see things. Elena in quotes and Matt arrive at the party. Caroline comes up to them and is complaining immediately about Klaus and the hybrids. And Elena is like, I'm going to go find Bonnie. And Matt is like, yeah, and I'm going to go get a drink, because he can't deal with two ex-girlfriends in the same sphere at once.
Poor Matt. Matt's just the punching bag of everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, speaking of punching bags, Klaus walks up to Stefan, his own personal punching bag, and he's like, I see that the homecoming queen still walks among the living, which leads me to believe that Rebecca isn't here. To which I say, isn't the homecoming queen crowned at the dance?
Yeah.
Maybe he's just speaking proverbially, because it's like...
Or maybe they announced it
beforehand.
Yeah.
We never had homecoming, so I don't know. Maybe that's the kind of thing that you have to vote on beforehand.
God, I didn't care enough in high school.
Same.
Like, there probably was some sort of voting thing, but my friends and I in homecoming, like, we went to the dance... just to make an appearance, and then we all went back to
I like that you put the dance in little bunny ear quote marks.
Well, because we didn't go to dance or anything, and we didn't stay for like the ceremony of crowning someone. You know, we then went to back to our theater that we hung out in and hung out like we usually did. Like, that's how we did.
That's fair.
And I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, they crowned the homecoming king and queen before the dance, because they had to ride in the car around the football field during the homecoming game, which I remember correctly was before the dance.
What exactly is homecoming? Who's coming home?
I don't know.
Who?
There's probably a whole history.
Probably to do with soldiers
maybe,
and stuff?
Maybe. Maybe the homecoming queen or king used to be someone coming back from the war. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
We're probably completely wrong.
But...
No idea.
Write into us at dearvampdiaries @gmail.com if you know what the fuck homecoming is all about.
Let us know if you're the king or queen.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Oh, I want to point out this band, which is My Morning Jacket.
Mm-hmm.
This song, First Light, definitely on all the mixes that I made for Nikki in high school. Of like, this, I loved this song. This song to me was Klaus's song.
Yeah.
So Klaus's plans now that... Michael's dead is that he just wants to reunite his family, and Stefan's like, oh, your family, you mean those people that you cart around in coffins?
Mm-hmm.
Foreshadowing. And he's like, and that's what leads him to ask about Rebecca. But what's interesting to me about this is I kind of wonder if Rebecca has tried to join high schools in the past when they've just been chilling, and Klaus like hasn't been about it. Maybe that's why he's daggered her before.
Yeah.
Like, if she's always just trying to like join the local high school and get an education, and that's what she wants is just friends.
She just wants to be smart.
Yeah.
Or maybe she's gone so far as like to be like nominated for homecoming queen.
Oh my God,
and like
yes.
Every time it happens, they like, he makes her leave.
Yeah.
And, like, she's never had the satisfaction of being like at the dance
queen.
And like,
100%. I need a show that's all about Klaus being the curmudgeonly brother and Rebecca just being like, I want to join this after school activity.
Yeah.
So we go to the Salvatore house, where Damon and Michael are grabbing a little drink before they execute their plan. Michael has the white oak steak that Damon asks to see, but Michael won't let him hold it, which is weird because later on, Damon 100% has that stake.
Yeah, and he has to, because he's the only one who can be
invited in.
Yeah.
Which is fair, but like, we don't see that in this scene. It's just this little bit of a power struggle almost, where Damon sort of asks Michael, like, why are you the way you are?
Yeah.
And he's like, I had a hand in creating vampires, and now he hates them, and we talked about what a fucking hypocrite he is.
Yeah. But I think that there should have been a at least even a throwaway line of like, well, good luck getting in then. Something right. like that.
Something.
They literally tell nothing in this episode about how Damon gets the
right.
stake.
That would have been an interesting little power play yeah. moment.
Yeah, just give Damon a throwaway or just a quick little look. Just like, you know, I'm the only one who can get in. So, yeah. It's up to you.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Know. Yeah. Yeah, it kind of doesn't make sense. There's some writing in here that doesn't add up. Michael feeds on Stefan. Because Stefan shows up and is like, so I hope your plan to depend on this being the location. They're like, nope, doesn't depend on that.
Again, Damon in the background going, no, that's not our plan.
Nope, that's not the plan.
Not the plan.
Nope. Nice guess. Yeah. Nice guess. And you know what's funny? I noticed that, so Michael, after he feeds on Stefan, he takes out a little hanky.
A little dab.
Dabs himself.
A little dab on the cheek. Yeah.
I do see some of him and Elijah.
Yeah.
Like, they're both hanky men. Mm-hmm. You know, they both carry around little pocket squares.
Yeah, they're very proper.
Yeah. Old world.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the party. Klaus comes up to Tyler and is like, ooh, you know, your friends are over there and they're over there. But who are all these other people? And Tyler's like, I don't know. Actually, I've never known. It's ugh, he's so dumb. I hate him. Anyway, Klaus is like, they're all my hybrids. Yay! And he's like, tell your friends.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being that asshole who brings randoms to the party.
Yeah. The randos that you picked up in the Heartland.
Yeah.
And in Seattle, the mm-hmm. Seattle contingent.
Yeah.
Way to bring all your friends. And
wish.com Bonnie.
Yeah.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, for real, for real. So Tyler, now that he's been warned, is worried about Caroline, and he takes her aside, and he's like, I know that you're planning something about Klaus. And she's like, nah, I'm really not, though. I'm really not.
Yeah.
And even though I think he kind of believes her, he still vervains her anyway. And at that exact moment, my only note is Brian said, seems like a healthy relationship.
Yep. Great relationship.
Great relationship.
It's like every time they're together, it's like one of them stab each other or knocks the other one out.
Knocking each other up. Hashtag kinky.
Yeah. Great. No. Healthy, great. 10 out of 10. No notes.
So we go to Klaus, now comes up to Elena, in quotes. My God, he's cornering everyone at this party. He's just like, hey, how you doing?
Because he doesn't
have
friends.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Yes, he wants to feel special, so he has to walk around and talk to everybody.
Yeah, and warn them.
Mm-hmm.
And he does just that with Elena. I really love this this line where he's like, you seem nervous. And she goes, I'm not nervous, I just don't like you.
Yeah.
I actually really enjoy that moment. Yeah. It's a very good delivery.
I feel that.
Yes, and also great on Nina Dobrev for her performance, because you can totally rewatch this knowing it's Catherine and see the subtle change.
Yeah.
Like, she does it really well where it's not a reveal until the end. And, like, you can still see Elena maybe being bold there, but really that's Catherine holding back.
Yeah.
And I love that, to see that relationship on another rewatch, which is really great. Also, what's cool is he's like, ooh, he kind of implies that he doesn't believe that she daggered Michael. And she's like, well, it's not my first time daggering an original. And literally the real Elena did just dagger Rebecca by surprise.
Yeah.
So I kind of love that too. And he's like, people have been after me for 100,000,000,000,000,000 years. You won't succeed. Okay.
It's part of the whole heist and everything.
Yeah.
You won't succeed. And then we show like, okay, here's how we're going to succeed.
Yes, exactly. So outside the party, this is a great little throwaway scene of Damon showing up and someone's like, oh, were you invited? And he goes, here's my RSVP. And he just reaches into their chest. Hybrid.
Yeah.
Little throwaway. Yeah. Great, great hybrid. Throwaway scene.
Yeah. It harkens back to the moment, was it last episode where Michael reaches into Damon's chest and grabs his heart?
Yes, 100%.
Like, yeah, it's like that throwback to that.
That's right. Ugh. And so we go to, screwing Matt over, as always.
Yeah.
Tyler is like, hey, Caroline's, you know, unconscious. I need you to get her out of here. That's gonna be fun.
Yeah.
Matt leaving the party with an unconscious mm-hmm. blonde girl that he has to hold up and deal with questions.
Mm-hmm.
That's not gonna get you arrested. Yeah. That's the sheriff's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But if this wasn't Mystic Falls, I suppose people would notice. But here they're just like...
Yeah. Although I do want like a bonus scene of him trying to like get the body out of the bedroom and like down the stairs
yeah,
and like
people are looking at him like
yeah like a weird like Weekend at Bernie's kind of thing.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
It's like, no, she's fine. She's fine. He falls down the stairs.
You're fine, aren't you, Caroline? Yeah. Yes, I'm fine.
Yeah. If anybody would have that scene, he'd be mad.
It would be mad. Oh, that's some prime comedy that they missed out on. All
right.
Hey, if you had directed this episode, it would have been in it.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Oh, yeah. More comedy.
Yes. He just dumps her right next to Rebecca.
Yeah.
Oh, that's where my date went.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh. Okay. So Tyler and Damon have a little bit of, you know, they have a little sexy dance inside the Lockwood office, which is where all of our gay romances happen on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Bonnie comes in and totally ruins it. How dare you, Bonnie? What a cock block. No, I'm just kidding. Damon tried to kill Tyler.
Yeah.
And it's in a great moment of trying to defend himself. He goes, he tried to bite me.
He tried to bite me.
Like
yeah.
a 5-year-old. I fucking love it. Which is fair, though.
But did you deserve it?
Yeah.
Say you're sorry.
Yeah. Bonnie, ever the peacekeeper, is like, that wasn't the plan. And she notices that he has the white oak stake. And he's like, don't say anything. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
So at a game of beer pong,
oh, God.
Klaus is so close to victory. And Mindy comes over and is like, there's someone who's here to see you. He says his name is Michael. God damn it, Mindy. Klaus was almost done winning this very important game of beer pong.
But this game of beer pong we're watching happen is... He literally, they take a second to shoot him dropping a ball into a cup.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not across a table. Like, the cup, like, the those of you who know beer pong.
The aspect ratio is really off.
It really is. If you know beer pong, you have a little triangle of cups, and there, you know, there's supposed to be a couple feet between them. He is, like, he can reach over the table.
And drop it
and
right.
And just drop it into the cup. And I want to know how many takes it took for him to not miss the cup. Cause
I believe in you, Joseph Morgan. I'm sure you got it on the first try.
I'm gonna say at least three.
He's an athlete.
Well,
okay.
I don't know. And it's also like watching his like his hybrids around him. Like
yeah.
you know he's playing against them and he's telling them to lose.
Right.
So like he's that guy at this party. He's
God,
he's the popular kid with money, or he's the
yes.
unpopular kid with money who
yes.
everyone has to be like, you're our friend.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's pretty clear on this stupid game of beer pong.
So he goes to a doorway and we have a real showdown at the doorstep of the Lockwood residence where he's like, why don't you come in? Oh, you can't. And he's like, why don't you come out? And Klaus is like, nah. They're both so theatrical. I'm surprised they're not related.
Yeah.
Like, Klaus is literally like, when I rub these two fingers together, my hybrids have choreographed a mm-hmm. dance where they're gonna throw your head around like it's a...
Not snap. Be very clear here, not snap,
rub
fingers together.
Ooh, how sexy.
And it's just like, just I want to imagine being one of the hybrid background is like watching, going like, oh, did he do the thing?
Do
I don't think he did the thing.
It's not a snap, guys.
He's gonna rub his fingers together. Watch his hands closely. He's gonna rub his fingers together. He said that in the briefing.
Because as we know, compulsion is very literal.
Yes.
But
he even shows it. He puts his hand up and he like does like tiny violin thing.
A millimeter apart.
It's just like, are you gonna rub them? What are you gonna do?
But Michael is like, well, but they're still part vampire, which means they can still be compelled by me. And he's like, okay, hybrids, now let's get in formation. Which is great because I just watched Beyonce's Homecoming last night and was like, oh my God. Anyway, sorry. Yeah. Just a funny parallel. Because I can imagine Michael right before this going up to the hybrids and being like, okay, hey guys, so when I say they can still be compelled by me, I need you to get a really threatening look and just come and flank mm-hmm. me. All right. If you want to practice, you want to do a practice run?
Vampire choreography.
Yes, 100%. And Michael...
You think he hires a choreographer to show him what to do?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
He's got someone that travels mm-hmm. with him that is his,
yeah.
his full-time choreographer.
I like to imagine every original vampire has, like, a
personal,
choreographer,
yes.
a wardrobe specialist, like, a whole team
yes.
of people who just, like, set everything up for them.
100%. How do you think Rebecca learned all those splits
it's
and
true.
Cheerleading things?
It's true.
I mean, come on. So anyway, Michael's like, na-na-na-na-na, come out or I'll kill Elena. And Joseph Morgan is a beautiful actor, and he's like straight up crying and is like, but he's not he's like stone-faced but also not stone-faced. He's great. I mean, he's like, I'm calling your bluff, father. The fact that he calls him father, I think he means as an insult.
Yeah.
Because Michael is like, boy.
Yeah.
And Klaus is like, father. Ha! Yeah.
He's very pointed when he says it.
Father.
Very, he really hits like the father.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
it's very Draco.
Yeah.
Draco Malfoy.
My father will hear about this. Yeah. But Michael totally fucking stabs Elena, which makes Damon come out, and he doesn't immediately kill Klaus. Damon knows. I know he knows where the heart is.
He misses.
Like,
and not by like a little, like he full on stabs him in the stomach.
What is the point of this, my dude?
Yeah.
What is the point of this?
Like dramatic flair, get him on the floor. Or like he also like he purposely grabbed him and turned him to stab him.
Right.
You can hit the heart from the back.
Right. Like, I know he knows
possible.
This. Yes.
Yeah.
He just explained it to Elena like a couple episodes ago. I know my dude knows.
Yeah.
And you see the hybrids kind of start all together. Like they're like, oh, is it now?
Did he rub his fingers?
Did he rub his fingers?
I mean, he's on the ground, but where are his fingers?
I can't
see his fingers. He's not going to snap. Bob, he's not going to snap. Don't say it again. He's not going to snap. Look at his fingers. We're looking for the movement, not the sound.
But the best part of this is that Catherine gets up totally unharmed,
mm-hmm.
and she just goes, ba-boom, which is great. And she
throws the water bottle grenades.
That totally work. And the stake that Damon was trying to use on Klaus in this moment, for some reason, oh, I know the reason. Stefan comes out and is like, let me save my boyfriend's life.
Yep.
And Klaus gets up, takes the stake, and puts it in Michael. It catches fire, which we've never seen a stake do before. And he is now dead. And Stefan stands up, and Klaus is like, he's just earned his freedom.
Thank you, my friend.
And Brian out loud went, kiss.
Yeah.
And I said, yes.
Well, because again, I've mentioned this in past episodes that I've been a part of in this.
Yeah.
That the male sexual tension is always shown by them being like 2 feet from each other's face, if not less. And the same thing. They're both staying there. Like there's no room between them. They might as well kiss.
100%. No, I'm so on board with this. I think we'll get into it in a couple of scenes, but the reason why Stefan saved Klaus's life, we're supposed to chalk it up to him saving Damon, but I think there's some plot holes with this. Okay, that's just to bait people so that they listen through to the end. We go to Caroline's room, where Tyler and Caroline kind of break up. It's sort of unclear. Like they get into a fight, which at first it's kind of funny, and I know you love how Michael Trevino delivers, sorry I stabbed you.
Yeah. Sorry I stabbed you.
And he's like, I saved you from your own stubbornness.
Mm-hmm.
But she's like, this isn't funny, Tyler. They have a real conversation about like, now you're controlled by the Sire Bond, and he's like, but before the full moon controlled me, and I'm just gonna say, my dude, the full moon is on a schedule.
Yeah.
You can account for that.
Yeah.
Klaus is an unpredictable motherfucker, mm-hmm. and this is not better.
Yeah. No, there's way with the full moon, there's ways to deal with it. I mean,
yeah.
You look at like look at like the Buffy series,
yes.
like you know, Oz would always go put himself in the cage.
Exactly.
And, like, lock himself up and like
yes.
There's
and Caroline's
things you can
always
do.
Down to help him
yeah,
with that.
Like, yeah, there's things with this. He's,
yep, it's just the pain. He's just, you know, and yeah. it was a very painful transformation, so I understand why he's like, this is better. But she does not agree.
No.
And before she can be like, I don't agree, he's just like, got it, and yeah. leaves.
Well, it's like, he's being very dramatic here, because like, all she says, she just says, Tyler.
Yeah.
To like, just to continue the conversation.
The conversation.
Like, she lets him speak. She waits. She then says, Tyler, to say her thought. And he's like, got it. Fine. And storms off.
Bye.
Just like, cool. So who's the adult here in the
right.
relationship?
100%.
I mean, you did just stab her in the neck.
Yeah.
Let her have her peace.
Let her say. I think it's fair if she doesn't agree with you.
Yeah.
Huh. But I'm sure we'll deal with the consequences of that in the next
mm-hmm.
episode. So, speaking of dealing with consequences, Damon is at the Salvatore mansion, raging to Elena about how their plan failed. He's like, we thought of everything. And Elena grabs him by the neck slash face and comforts him. And I'm like, don't you grab him by the face like it's no big deal? What the fuck is it? You can't just say your lines and do that.
No, it's Elena, very
as you're talking about letting Stefan go. So
I mean, they've been looking at each other's lips like all the whole episode. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and this is just a callback moment to remember when Stefan was like, all the reasons why our plans fail is because one of us lets our humanity get in the way. It's not going to be me. It's going to be you guys. And I'm like, oh, really? And Catherine calls and she's like, I don't know what to tell you, Damon, blah, 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 blah. Goodbye. I'm leaving. And cut to a reveal where Stefan is in the car with her. And she goes, he doesn't know where it all went wrong. And we see a bunch of, you know, flashbacks to the night.
Ocean's 11 thing. They do the Ocean's 11 thing. Where it goes back to the, here's where it went wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
And
I also want to point out this real quickly, like how the reveal of Stefan being in the car was like the I keep using Buffy as an example, but it was like the Spike moment of just like him like arm on the windowsill and like brooding and like turning his head dramatically towards her and like the smoky eyes. It's like, okay, we get it. He's a bad boy now. Like
in bunny ear quotes, Brian just did bad boy in bunny ear quotes. Yes, that's fair. Okay, this is where I disagree. So the reveal is, Catherine found out that even in death, Klaus's hybrids have their orders, which I don't think is how compulsion works, because the whole idea was that killing him would break the compulsion. Even temporarily daggering him would break the compulsion. Yeah. We've seen that with Elijah. So this whole idea of like, oh, they're gonna kill Damon if Klaus dies, I think that Stefan didn't want Klaus to die. I think that there is some fucked up little part of him that loves his big bad boyfriend.
Yeah.
That's in headcanon. That's the truth for me.
Yeah.
So there are just way too many plot holes with this.
Definitely there's answers required in future episodes.
Yes. Yeah. Which they, you know, we'll see what they do with that. Yeah. But she says of herself, she's like, you know, you and I both know that it's not true that I don't care. I love you and I love Damon too. And I just hoped that you'd want to save him. And they talk about the humanity switch a little bit.
Yeah.
And she's like, you have to start caring. I, you know, I like the old you better. And she says, because if you don't care, you can't do what I need you to do next. And he's like, what's that? And she's like, get mad.
Yeah.
And I just love that even in this version of the show, the one that's written, Catherine is still the reason why Stefan has any ideas.
Yeah.
Because even evil Stefan can't come up with his own plans.
Nope.
So Klaus tries to call Rebecca.
She's dead, just down the floor. Phone's next door.
Yeah, in the basement. And he's like, Rebecca, darling, daddy's dead.
Very chipper about it.
Yeah, it's amazing. And he gets a call from Stefan. I love that Klaus is full on expecting Stefan to run back into his arms.
Yeah.
And Stefan is like, actually, my freedom came at too high of a price. Yep. And meanwhile, Klaus is walking to the place where he had all the coffins. And he's like, what do you mean? And he's like, where are they?
Mm-hmm.
And Stefan goes, I just love this delivery where he says, what's the matter, Klaus? Missing something?
Yeah.
It's great.
To reveal him surrounded by the coffins. Yeah.
It's great. And he's like, you know, this is my revenge, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a great setup. And I love this cliffhanger that we end the episode on.
Yep.
All right, Brian, who are you taking and who are you staking from this episode?
Well, my take-em is the whole Ocean's 11 layered heist plan and all of this. Because I thought it was, for a CW show like this, I think it was very well constructed.
Yeah.
I don't want to say well written, but well constructed. like the layers were good. And like as much as we made fun of like the flashbacks and like the, like, you know, the how'd this go wrong? Here's how it went wrong.
Right.
Like, yes. You know, it actually was very, no pun intended, but compelling to watch. And even the very last end of it of like, oh, it's all done now. You know, Klaus has won, having that one last reveal of the last, you know, the last layer of this onion. I thought was very good.
So good.
My stakeum is the whole beer pong thing. I can't. That was just no one on this set knows how to set up or play beer pong. Really, I can't believe that. It's CW. It's all dude bros. Come on.
So
like
true.
How did they mess that up so badly? Like I get, you know, I can maybe think that like, oh, they needed to get the whole like thing in the shot, so they had to compress it together. And it's like just do a wider shot, man. Like just.
Right.
It looks weird.
Yes.
It's not
you
how.
You had directed this. You would have fucking caught that.
Yes. It would have been set up.
I'm proud of you for not mentioning the glitter gun. All right, moving
also
on.
Also the glitter
moving
gun.
On.
Also the glitter.
Moving
there
on.
Were no streamers in that scene whatsoever. And again,
don't know why I said
when the water was coming down the street and they put those barriers on the street, someone had
to say,
put them here.
Brian.
They had to say, it goes in this line right here.
Brian.
But that person should have said, don't put it in.
Brian,
in water.
Ask me who I'm taking and who I'm staking.
Sorry. Bridget, who are you taking and staking in this episode?
Thank you. I'm so glad that you asked. Taking Catherine because, okay, all right, I am taking, okay, I have to explain why I'm taking her, where I'm taking her.
Okay.
She is the real MVP of this entire thing. Like, she's been running from Klaus for 1,000 years, and she really doesn't have much of a reason to save Elena or Damon or Stefan, and the fact that they're like, she cares at the end of this. We live for this in this show. Like, her courage and her... This is, like, super selfless of her to do all of this. And we set her up, like, as a heartless person. And then we get to reveal that, like, she has some compassion. She has people she cares about. This is an anti-apathy show. And I think that care and, like, turning on your feelings is the bottom line of like, feel your feelings, live your life. And I love that Catherine is our Care Bear in this episode. So I'm taking her to Build-A-Bear. We're going to make a Care Bear version of her, and it's going to have a little K on its chest with a rainbow inside of it. I am staking the build up to Michael, essentially staking the writers, especially now that he's dead. I mean, they killed him so soon after setting him up. And I don't feel like we squeezed enough out of him. Like, maybe they just couldn't come up with more, but why? Why couldn't they come up with more? Like, it would be really interesting if they had actually had a payoff to this big bad that they teed up.
Yeah.
And I just feel that there wasn't.
I mean, who knows? Maybe they'll find some way to bring him back later.
Yeah, fair.
A ghost or a memory or something.
But I just remember watching this for the first time and going, that's such a letdown.
Yeah.
He's dead? What the fuck?
Yeah. Especially because the episode directly before it is the whole background of like, he's the big bad. He's
right.
The father who's coming after them for the thousands of years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he. Anyway.
I agree.
Yeah. All right. Ask me what the word of the day is.
Bridget, what's the word of the day?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. The word of the day is braggadocio. Braggadocio refers to brash, self-confident boasting. That is the annoying or exaggerated talk of someone who is trying to sound very proud and very brave. So we're both going to use this in a sentence about the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, what's your sentence?
The braggadocio in the doorway between Michael and Klaus could be cut with a knife or an old-ass vampire dagger.
I love that. Yeah, we went for the exact same thing. Michael and Klaus might not be related, but they sure as shit share the same penchant for braggadocio with their inflated egos. All right, that's all for the homecoming. You can support the podcast by going to the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes, following the show on social media, also in the show notes, or by leaving us a great review. You can also write into us at dearvampdiaries@gmail.com. I have been your host, Bridget, and Brian has been our guest host today. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks for having me.
Yay! Thanks for joining us. Tune in next time to find out if you can book my morning jacket for your next impromptu wake.
Tune in next time to see how Stefan plays Tetris with a bunch of coffins.
Dear Diary, Portland is fantastic once you get over the whining music and healthy-looking people.
Dear Diary, quit hanging out with Rebecca, the evil blood slut.
Dear Diary, let's stay home, order takeout, and overanalyze ancient hieroglyphic thingies with Alaric.
Dear Diary, sorry I stabbed you.